Some people are spontaneous. They travel without maps or making reservations. They cook without recipes or procuring ingredients. They spend without budgets or bargain hunting. Not me. I like to plan. I like to know what to expect. And so I make schedules. I like to make contingencies to those schedules, just in case something goes wrong. I like to make secondary plans. I like to make tertiary plans or third level plans. And then, as I was saying to Janine yesterday, then after I make the plans, I worry until I get where I'm supposed to be that the plans that I made were incorrect. I'll go to a hotel that I made a reservation with trepidation because what if I booked the wrong place? What if I booked it the wrong day? What if I booked the wrong number of rooms? Which I have done before. This is why I have trouble with the events of Luke 8, 22 to 25. I have trouble with Jesus saying, not that I have trouble that Jesus said it, I have trouble with the thought that Jesus says in the original language, we should go to the other side of the lake. I would have wanted a plan. I would have wanted the disciples to say, okay, what are we going to expect? How do we prepare? But Jesus has other plans for them. And Jesus has other plans for us sometimes. As we look at this passage, we have to recognize that sometimes circumstances do not go as we planned. The disciples are specifically directed by Jesus to go to the other side of the lake. And we might think that if Jesus directs it, if we have the audible voice of Jesus saying, we should go to the other side of the lake. Let us go to the other side of the lake. I want you to plant this church here. I want you to go to this mission field here. I want you to marry this person or buy this house or take this job. I want Jesus to make sure that plan has no trouble being accomplished. And that's why I have trouble with this passage. Jesus directs them. They are specifically doing what God directed them to do. They are in the very center of the will of God. Doing what the word of God instructs them. And there was a dangerous storm that comes down upon the lake. Not an uncommon occurrence. In preparing for this message, I read from various sources that because of the way that the Sea of Galilee is geographically composed, the topography of that area, that there are mountains and hills that surround the entire area. And what would happen is that winds and storms would be channeled by those mountain peaks to have cross currents and waves and storms that come upon them almost immediately. But, that being the case, It would have required an adjustment. But Jesus told them to go. Obviously, they're not going to drown. And the boat itself was occupied by a number of experienced fishermen familiar with the Sea of Galilee. It can be assumed that they had known what to do in this circumstance. It can be assumed that they attempted to sail through the storm, as they had done numerous times before. But whatever they tried, the whirlwind was too great, and the boat was sinking. The water was coming up over the sides, the boat was filling with water, and they were endangered. Despite their best efforts, despite what they knew to be the right course of action, the boat was about to go down, and they were in danger of their very lives. And at times, we need to recognize that our best is not good enough. We all have times when we feel helpless being where Jesus has led us. I know you told me to go this way. I know that I prayed. I know that the Spirit gave me comfort. The Spirit gave me guidance. I know where I'm supposed to be. Why is it so hard? I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Why is it so hard? Why do I feel like I'm sinking? I took this job knowing that it would be difficult, but why do I need to take a stand every day? I know that you said in this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I've overcome the world. But I didn't realize that it meant dealing with a diagnosis with grace. Or facing loss, maintaining our faith. So where do we turn when we feel endangered? And I suppose we can ask that question in two ways. Where do we turn as a point of introspection? Where do I turn when I feel scared? I call my friends. I call my parents. I call my wife. I swallow my pride. I redouble my efforts. Or I wake up God. I disrupt my best efforts. And I get the attention of God. The disciples turned to Jesus, who was asleep. Now we can think about why he was asleep forever. Maybe he was asleep because it was the end of the day, as one of the other gospel writers declares. Maybe it was that he did not feel at all endangered. Maybe it was the rocking of the boat. But for whatever reason, Jesus was asleep. They wake him up. And this is a time when our plans don't go as they should. It serves as a calling to deepen our faith. Jesus gets up. And he rebukes the wind and the raging waters. Jesus literally speaks sternly with proper disapproval of what is said or done to the wind and the waves. This is now the fourth time that Luke has recorded this specific word in his gospel. You might remember when we were looking at Luke chapter 4, the first three times. Luke 4:35, Luke 4:41 says that Jesus was rebuking demons. That makes sense. Talking to someone and saying, I disapprove of what you're doing and you need to stop. But the other time that Luke uses it, Luke 4:39, he rebukes a fever. Now, as far as I am aware, fevers are not people. Speaking to a fever, speaking to a disease, will not immediately make it go away. COVID-19, I disapprove of what you're doing, and you need to stop. Doesn't work. So Jesus then and now is not actually speaking to the weather. He's speaking to the disruptive force that is using nature against them. He is confronting the evil force behind the storm. He's confronting Satan. Stop this chaotic upheaval immediately. And with a few words, calm is restored. To which he then turns to the disciples with a simple question. Where is your faith? Now we know from Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 11:1 gives us an excellent definition of what the faith that Jesus is talking about is. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith, as Jesus is talking about it here, is not the list of doctrines and beliefs, but the underlying condition of our hearts, our souls. Faith includes the assurance of God's reliability, being sure of what we hope for. What has God promised us? And faith gives us assurance that if God said it, it will happen. Forget what the God said it, I believe it, that does it, something like that. Faith also includes a certainty of God's availability. That faith is being certain of what we do not see. That there is a whole realm that is invisible to the human eye, but real nonetheless. There is a spiritual war going on in the heavenly places and in the earthly realms. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities of this dark age. And so we need to be certain of what we do not see. And one of the things we may not be able to see is God's presence among us. I can't know for sure, can't have physical proof, evidence that God is with us, other than that his word says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. But we can have a certainty by faith that God is available to us at all times. Now, the disciples lacked both of these comforts. God's promised Messiah was not going to perish that day. And God's attention for their needs was not absent that day. It is not as if that boat was going to sink. It may have appeared that way, but without the sureness of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see, they thought they were doomed. Jesus knew otherwise. And at times, our faith might be lacking because we see what's raging around us and we forget what is in the boat with us. The other gospel accounts include the disciples' lack of faith with the presence, of fear. Oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Why are you fearful? And as they think about Jesus' question, where is your faith? They are given a reason to no longer be faithless and afraid. Because these times when our plans don't go as we expect, when circumstances rise up and endanger us, these are times that enable us to consider who Jesus is. Verse 25, in fear and amazement, they ask one another, who is this? Now, this is the theme that runs through the Gospel of Luke. Who is this? The crowds say it. The disciples say it. Those that are healed say it. The Pharisees say it. And at the end of chapter 9, Jesus himself will ask, who do people say that I am? And who do you, Peter, say that I am? Who am I? This is the beginning of the disciples pondering that question anew. The disciples' perception of Jesus has been expanding over time. He's the great teacher. He's the miracle worker. He's the prophet used by God among us. And yet, that doesn't answer the question of the moment. Who is he? But even in the midst of them asking that, they answer their own question. He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. There is only one whom the winds and the waves obey. Psalm 107, verses 25 to 29. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Who can command the winds and the waves that they obey him? It must be the Lord Almighty. It has to be God. 1,000 years ago, the psalmist wrote of storms on the sea that they cry out to God and God delivers them. And Jesus speaks a word, and the storm and the sea obey. At times, our boats need to practically capsize, because only then will we question, who is this Jesus? And it's only then that we will conclude that He is the Lord Almighty. As they sat in the center of the calm, they came to the conclusion that Jesus was no ordinary man. They came to the conclusion that He is the one who fixes broken plans. Our sermon in a sentence is this: when circumstances are beyond our control, believe that Christ is still in command. When Jesus calmed the storm, the disciples discovered that He is God. He is in control of all things, even if we feel everything is out of control. This passage ought to cause every single one of us to ask, who is this? And the only answer that makes sense is that He is God the Son, the Lord Almighty, who speaks and stills the storm. If you have a storm raging in your life and you feel that you are in danger of being drowned, remember that He keeps His every word and promises to remain with you through it all. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, that this one in the boat will not allow us to die today, of being sure and certain of what we do not see, that this one can control the invisible forces that seek our demise. When circumstances are beyond our control, believe that Christ is still in command. Shall we pray?